back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. A story that actually happened in 2003. By the way, Sam Phillips is here. I'm sorry, Sam.
No, that's okay, big buddy.
Happened in 2003. A 16-year-old girl got shot in the face because a detective with LAPD lied and forged her signature on a statement about some gang members, and the gang went out and had her killed.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's been reassigned. So he's already serving his punishment. So
where he was reassigned. What do you do with somebody that puts out a hit on somebody else? Pretty much.
Well, he didn't put out the hit. The detective didn't put out the hit.
I understand, but because of his false information, that
resulted kid got killed.
In a hit.
Yeah, it so, absolutely did.
And in the end, it's almost he might as well have put the hit out himself.
Well, I mean, it you could make that case. I mean, that if he didn't sign that document, he didn't make that statement and falsify those documents, that kid may still be alive.
That's right.
All right, Joe in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks. How you doing, sir?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify a couple things and maybe make a comment at the end, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And it really pains me to hear you throw out terms like falsifying, lying, and without doing your homework, throwing this stuff out about, something obviously you're not well informed on. And doing that, you don't realize the damage that it does to law enforcement and people who are out here trying to do a good job and trying to do the right thing out here. But the fact of the matter is, the only thing that he's really guilty of is bad judgment for actually using her name in what he did. A ruse is a common technique that's used all the time in homicides and other crimes. It's perfectly legal. You can talk to a district attorney or someone along those lines to do things. You can use props, which is what they did. They never filed that confession as an official report. They didn't forge their name for that reason. It's a prop. And it's used all the time. You bring in a piece of hair in a bag and tell them, hey, we've got a hair sample from you and the DNA is going to match.
Well, officer, you could call it a ruse. I call it lying.
And that's it's a ruse. And it's
I know, but you can call it a ruse. I call it lying. And, okay.
And if your daughter was murdered, you'd probably want us to use a ruse to get that person to confess. Now, he shouldn't have used an actual name. I agree. And
I think it's weird that he used the name of the girl that lived right where the killing happened, right in front of her house.
And I'll explain to you.
He falsified her signature as well. If he didn't do that, she may still be alive today.
Okay, well, let me finish. If the bottom line is she did see it, and she wasn't willing to make a statement, and she was, in fact, I believe one of the other stories I'd read, it said that she was actually in the car when it happened, but they knew that she saw it. And that's more part of it, that they knew that she saw what happened because he knew he did it.
But maybe
if she's unwilling to be a witness
to
this crime.
They could have used her name. They could have used somebody else's name or wrote it illegibly and said someone confessed. But what I'm trying to get across is you're absolutely right. They shouldn't have shown her actual name because they put her in danger. But
they didn't put her in danger. She was killed.
I understand that. And
I don't mind the terms. I don't mind the terms that that they use here. But when you talk about this exact case, you can't use those vague terms like they put her in danger.
Okay, and I understand that. That's what I said. That's the part of what they did that was wrong. But saying that all cops lie and there's people in jail.
Never
for no
said
good
it. All,
reason.
Never said all cops lie.
I said I love cops.
I said never said all cops lie. I've said if you listen to the show, 99% of people on LAPD are probably decent cops, but you're going to have liars. And I witnessed one sitting across me yesterday in Chatsworth in a court and lying twice to the judge, and the judge bought it.
Bold-faced lie.
And until yesterday, you'll never find a bigger supporter of LAPD and anywhere, on radio, television, on the internet, anywhere outside of me.
Me?
But when I witnessed that yesterday, and then I started reading and getting calls from people where this happens all the time, it made me believe, listen, if it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah, and for a traffic ticket, obviously, I don't even understand why a cop would lie about a traffic ticket. But
a quota?
Getting calls from people for the ex-gang members, supposed ex-gang members, and people, they put a case on me and they lie. Of course, you're going to hear that all the time because no criminal thinks that they're ever guilty. But it just furthers
But Joe, don't you think there are criminals that aren't guilty? Don't you think there's a couple people in prison that don't deserve to be there?
Very, 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 very few. Very few.
Like how many? Like one out of ten?
Not even that. You're going to have tons of criminals that are all going to say, just like that other guy, oh, yeah, they have brought some toothless person in and said that I did this or I did that. And he's going to sell it to you that, yeah, he's a good guy now. And, you know, the fact
I believed
he's a gang
him.
Member.
Yeah, he's an ex-gang member. You cannot...
There is no such thing as an ex-gang member. And I've worked a long time with gangs and worked big investigations, and I can tell you, there is no such thing as an ex-gang member.
Aren't there ex-gang members on LAPD?
No, there's no ex-gang members on LAPD.
There's not a single person on LAPD that has ever had any affiliation. I got it, Sam. Had any affiliation with any gang?
I'm sure that some have slipped through, and most of those obviously have come to light with the Rampart scandal and other things, but... People that admit that they were a gang member and got onto the department, no. But could someone sneak onto the department and not say that they ever had any affiliation? Absolutely. But someone admitting they're a gang member and becoming a police officer, no.
Well, I don't understand. And listen, Joe, I have a couple of friends who are on LAPD, and they're very good friends of mine. And I would trust my my daughter with them in a heartbeat. If I ever had to go anywhere, I would just drop them off at their house and trust them with her life and my life. And they know vice versa as well. An ex detective with LAPD, a current lieutenant, and a couple of guys who are on the street. And all of those guys are terrific guys. But there's got to be something that LAPD is doing in either the recruiting, where they're letting they're not doing great background checks, or they're letting too many guys in nowadays, where these guys are coming up. And again, it's 99% of them are great, but the guys who will lie about a small little traffic court U-turn, that is just sort of like the beginning of the end. If you'll lie about something that small, you're certainly going to lie about something when it comes to either shooting a person or cocaine or whatever, a big drug bust.
Well, that's a pretty big jump to make, and it's things like that that the media does, and saying something like that, taking a small thing like your traffic ticket issue and saying, now, well, that guy would lie about this or that, that's what makes our job harder, and that's what I'm saying. That's why, you know, that drives me crazy that you, of all people, are doing that, because you were such a big proponent of the LAPD, and that's why I listen to your show all the time. You're always a big supporter of the cops, and when we screw up, we screw up.
What I'm saying is, I know what you're saying, and I know you're human beings, and I don't envy the job that you guys have to do, because you guys go through divorce, through bankruptcy, through family illness, through family death, and you got to go on the street and still deal with these a-holes, and I understand that's a big job. But the very few guys that are in the LAPD, and you know who they are, and you know, you may have run into these guys before, who they get caught lying in a case or they get caught fudging some evidence. And because, you know, internal affairs doesn't always catch these guys, a lot of the LAPD and a lot of, you know, the police departments, the thin blue line, they won't rat these guys out.
And I really don't see that. That type of thing happening, it's blown out of proportion by the media. And when something like this happens, and one question I wanted to ask you is, do you honestly believe, can you sit there and say that you think that this detective went in there, do that interview, without any regard for this person's safety and saying, you know what, if she gets killed, she gets killed, I just need to get the confession. Do you really believe that?
I don't believe it at all. But listen to this.
And to try and you know, make it sound like he's some rogue cop who doesn't care and got this girl killed. The bottom line is, these gangsters knew that she saw that, and to protect them, this might have happened without that confession. Granted, he made a big mistake by putting an actual real name there and compromising that person. I'm giving you that.
But Joe, officer, listen. In this case, when you're talking about this case, he didn't put that person in a position where she was going to compromise her life. She got killed. She got shot in the face and murdered.
I understand. That's what I said. He made a mistake, but I'm telling you, it's not. You're making it sound like he didn't care, like he went in to do this, and oh, well. The guys who killed us are...
Joe, didn't he have some regard of, like, the consequences or ramifications of falsifying a document, whether the name is legible or...
A document. It's a prop used in a ruse, and you keep throwing out those terms, and that's what really bugs me. You don't want me to use terms like put her in danger, but you're throwing out falsifying.
How about falsify the prop? Can we use that term?
No, it's a prop. It's a ruse. It's a perfectly legal technique. If he was to use that confession as a document, in his investigation, put it in the murder book, yes, then of course he would have committed a crime, but he didn't do it. It's a prop. It would have been disposed of right after they got the confession.
All right. Well, hey, listen.
Well, they didn't get the confession, and she got killed.
All right. Well, listen, I'm probably especially pissed this week because I witnessed it firsthand. But I still I wish that you guys, in particular, and all those guys, all you guys are safe out there.
Yeah, I love cops, Joe. Just so you know.
You take care of yourself and keep listening, Joe. All right. There.
Remember, I made a training tape for the sheriffs. I've done my duty.
Let's talk to Todd in San Francisco. You're on 97.1.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Just so you know who I am, my name's Todd Melnick. I represented Juan Catalan, who was arrested for the murder of Martha Puebla.
Oh, wow.
I'm up in San Francisco doing another case.
Okay.
Juan was the victim of the same kind of thing. You know, after Martha was killed, they were looking for, the suspect for that particular case. And what they did is they, after they had arrested him, and I can go into why he got arrested, why he was identified, but they put him in the interview room. They held him for about 5 hours, 6 hours, without even telling him why he was arrested. He was arrested about 3 months after the day that the murder occurred. They put him in the interview room with Detective Pinner and Detective Rodriguez, and they placed those fake six-packs in front of him, circled his picture, and each of four or five different detectives wrote little comments in the on the six-packs that said, this is the guy I saw shoot my neighbor, oh, this is the guy for sure, whatever it was. And they put it in front of Juan, and they said, how can you deny that you're the, you know, you killed her, you know, maybe... you got angry, you had a fight with her. They try to get him all these other ways to get out. Meanwhile, Juan is, this is taped. Juan is crying. He's telling them he's completely innocent, that he doesn't even know the girl, didn't know anything about it, begged them for a lie detector test three times on tape, and told them they were making the biggest mistakes of their careers. Well, I guess that ended up being true.
Well, so wait a minute. So they begged the cops for the detectives for a lie detector test?
Juan did.
Yeah.
And he never received one.
Yeah, of course not. And they used the same ruse.
Now, what happened to this guy? Now, is this the gang member you're representing?
No, he's not a gang member.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
Juan was arrested. You're going to remember the story when I tell you. I found videotape from the TV show Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, wait a minute. At Dodger Stadium?
Yes.
Wait a minute, this is the case?
This is the case. This is the girl that she was executed, and they accused my client of executing her.
Jesus Christ.
You've talked about
Jesus
that,
Tim. Well, I didn't. I read about it, yeah. But I didn't. I never, you know, talked about it on the air. But, yeah, this guy, you know, they tried to prove that he wasn't at the scene of the murder, and they showed him footage of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Where he was an extra?
Yeah, the one where Larry went to Dodger Stadium, got caught in traffic. I mean, it was a great episode. But but anyway, so they searched the videotape of this, and they found him, and they found the day that it was taped on. And I guess, was that the piece of evidence that that got this kid off?
Well, that was part of it. I had gone to the Dodger people and worked with their organization, and we got all the names of the people that sat around him at that game to try to get people to identify him. And I went to the media area, and they told me that somebody had paid to use Dodger Stadium as a for a background for shooting that night. So I contacted them, and it ended up being Curb, and I told them I needed to look at their footage that they shot that night. And of course, they told me no. And I told them, look, my client's facing the death penalty. You don't understand. And so things went to HBO and New York, and then Larry finally got involved, and Larry said, yeah, come on down. So,
wow.
So that is what saved this kid from the death penalty.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But for that, he might be facing the death penalty right now if I hadn't found that footage.
Well,
don't you love Hollywood, dude?
Yeah, I need you on my side if I ever.
It's Todd Melnick. Write that number down.
All right, Todd. We thank you for calling, buddy.
Hey, no problem.
All right.
Just to let you guys know, I mean, this is the same thing. This is why Martha got killed, is because they used these fake ruses, and not only did they get her executed, but they, you know, tried to then get Juan legally executed. So I'm glad. I just heard, you know, that Pinner was demoted. And the funny thing is, it's not funny, but...
Demoted?
He's reassigned.
When we sued the city and Pinner and everybody else attached to this thing, they actually promoted him as a ploy in the litigation to show that he had done all the right stuff and he was an excellent detective. So they promoted him from a D1 to a D2 for purposes of litigation. So if he got demoted, maybe he got demoted back to D1, or maybe he's not a...
Right. Now, what did this case settle for? Can you tell us?
Yeah, it settled for like $340,000, which was really pennies for spending 5 months in custody. And
what about the case? What about the girl that got killed? Is that case settled yet?
That case is pending. That case is pending.
And what do you think that in your best case estimate, and using your like tutored eye over this in the past, I don't know how long you've been a lawyer, but what do you think that's going to settle for, or what do you think that's going to cost the city?
Well, to answer your first question or second question, and I've been a lawyer for 21 years, the settlement, my guess, is probably going to be probably around $2 million. Something like that?
I was going to say like $3 million. Mm. Yeah.
$2 million
yeah.
For a kid's life. All right.
I don't think that's enough.
No, it is not. All right, Todd, we thank you for calling, man.
All right.
Take care of yourself. All right, there he goes. Both
wow.
sides of the story, everybody.
How crazy that he was listening in San Francisco, probably
yes.
streaming live on the web.
Probably heard it here and called him. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Sam Phillips is with us. More of your phone calls when we come back. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Sam Phillips is with us.
Ooh, I'm going to do a jailbreak,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, you had a bad run-in with these cops, man. George in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1. George.
Hey, Timmy.
Hey, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Timmy. You know, the thing is, man, you know, you got done in by the system, too. And you know the people that are
but on a fairly low level. I mean, it cost me $160.
But Timmy,
right?
Look, man, this is just the way these politicians, and a judge is a politician. That guy sees that police officer all the time.
Right.
He's never going to choose your side. He's always going to go with that guy because that's the guy that comes in there all the time. That's the guy that talks with them in the back, hangs around with the bailiff, does all this kind of stuff. But here's my deal, Tim. All of this stuff that you're talking about, man, just pales in comparison to what the politicians have done to this city with these gang members. And there's a place, you're talking about breaking your heart. Go down by Pico Union District, and you know what that area used to look down by the convention center?
Oh, yeah.
It looks not only like third world, but it looks like El Salvador. It looks like Mexico. I mean, every corner has a stand on it where people are selling fruit and oranges. I mean, they take up all of the space on the sidewalk. You think the police would do anything about that? Well, no. And, yeah, they have vendors in New York. But those vendors are all
licensed
by the city of New York. The things are clean, not draining off in the street, not four and five of them caked up, not people selling stuff to the little kids at the school. I mean, it's horrible, man. And then on top of that, you got international gangs down there. And the police in L.A. would pick on you and pick on me, especially lousy LAPD. They would pick on you and they'll pick on me. But these gang members, they're too cowardly to do anything about them. And to show you what cowards they are, man, you know the lady that got killed up in the park by these two police officers? One was a female officer and the other one was a male officer.
Right. When did that happen?
This happened about 3 years ago. The lady was like a homeless lady pushing a shopping cart.
And, oh, yeah, but the chick had a knife with her, right?
No, she had a screwdriver.
But
here's the thing, Timmy. Are you telling me that me and you, and you know, I don't even know you.
No,
but here's what I'm saying, Timmy. Are you telling me that me and you, we're not trained officers,
right.
But we couldn't go into the park and take down a 90-pound woman?
No, I absolutely agree.
Timmy,
agree with you.
You've got a mace,
I agree with
and
you. You
got a stick. You don't have to murder that woman. And look at all the carts that are out in the street.
Right. No, I
mean, these are not police officers. These are cowards. Because if they weren't cowards, I mean, Timmy, I've been to Rome, I've been to France. You can go to any of those places at night on the street and walk safely. You cannot walk safely on the street in Los Angeles.
I agree with you. I live in the San Fernando Valley, and I live in a pretty decent neighborhood, and I would not walk on the streets at night.
This guy that got on there and was telling you all this BS about, you know, using words and stuff like that, and that's what they do. They use words. They throw words out, man.
Officer Joe.
Because you know what, Timmy? They are cowards, man.
I don't agree with that.
I don't think all of them are cowards.
Hold on one sec, George. I don't agree with that because I know some guys that are on LAPD who are exactly the opposite of that.
Yeah, me too.
That when the S hits the fan, they run towards the fan.
Yeah.
You know?
And also the Santa Monica Police Department, the Beverly Hills, the West Hollywood Sheriff's.
There's a problem with them out there.
I love all cops, quite frankly.
All right. Let's talk to, Sandy in San Dimas. You're on 97.1.
Hey, hi, how are you doing?
Good, how you doing, babe?
Hi. Listen, I had an incident that happened to my son about a year ago because I was listening to what the police officer was saying about how a lot of times it's the ex-gang members that are always saying that all the bad things always happen to them. My son was going to a concert, and he was driving to his friend's house, and the cop pulled him over. And he said he noticed as soon as he turned the corner when the cop saw him that something was up, so cop pulled him over and pulls his gun out, doesn't get out of the car, and tells my son to stay in the car, points the gun at my son, tells my son to get out of the car slowly. So my son, not knowing what's going on, decides, okay, well, I'm not going to cause any trouble. I'm going to get out of the car. Gets out of the car. There's another cop car that's coming around the corner. When that cop gets there, they grab him, throw him on the ground. One of the officers had his foot on top of his, on the back of my son so he couldn't get up. They went in his truck. They started searching his truck, threw everything out of his truck, went through his pockets, got his wallet, got everything out of his wallet, threw it on the ground, and got my son up, picked him up from the shirt, threw him against the truck, and had one of the officers had his baton around my son's neck. So at the time when this was happening, he was just on the street from his friend's house, and of course people came out and started looking. This was happening in broad daylight. So one of his friends saw what was happening, went back inside, told his parents. Parents came out of the house, and everybody was witnessing everything that was happening. So the officers were getting in his face, asking him where he was from. My son was saying, "I'm not in a gang. I'm not into that." Just harassing him, you know, saying, yeah, we know who you are. We know who you roll with. You know, we know what you did. And he's saying, "I don't know what you guys are talking about. You know, I didn't do anything. Got the wrong person." So they asked him, well, what gang are you rolling with? And he's like, you know, I work. I go to school. I work. I belong in the union. You know, I'm not a troublemaker. I don't want any trouble. You guys got the wrong guy. So
maybe they were harassing him because his mom tells really, really long stories.
Sorry.
A lot happened to the poor kid.
Well, we ended up filing a complaint with the police department. We had witnesses that saw what actually happened because in the long run, they didn't do anything to him. They let him go.
Oh, they did. So they didn't charge him with anything?
They didn't charge him with absolutely nothing.
All right. Well, that's a decent ending to that story.
See, the thing that Officer Joe said that I have an issue with, Tim, is that there are no ex-gang members. I don't believe that.
Well, I don't know.
I just don't. I think everybody deserves a second chance, and I think some people do start over with a clean slate.
I think it does harden you to become a police officer. And again, those guys, you know, they have a tough job. But when, you know, you start, fudging the truth and, you know, or outright lying.
A ruse.
About stuff. It's
to get a conviction.
Yeah. It just stinks. And I don't know. Maybe they have to do that. Maybe, you know, I have no idea what I'm talking about. But it just seems like there are so many people, whenever we talk about this, that call up. Every single line is filled right now.
The
with
phones
people
are lit.
Who have been... harassed by cops.
Unfairly treated.
And on the other side, there's not a single woman in the history of the world that will admit that her son is a gang member. You know?
I'm sure somebody would admit it.
Nobody ever admits it.
Bull.
Anytime you hear a mother interviewed after a gang shooting and the news person will say, "Was your son in a gang?" In a gang, he never even knew gang members. And meanwhile, he's got tattoos all over him.
I believe Sandy. I don't think her son's in a gang. She knew too much detail.
I know. She didn't sound like her son was in a gang. But none of them do. Nobody ever admits their brother or their son or their daughter is a gang member. All right, we're going to do news at 9. What's going on with that news there, Gina Greb?
Well, Michael Phelps takes home another gold medal, and Fox News reporter Shepard Smith has a little case of thick tongue. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Look at you. All right, also the top 10 David Letterman list is coming up. The top 10 things you don't want to hear at 7-Eleven. You listen to it right now?
It's a big gulp of comedy! It's so good! You got a number six!
Okay. All right, the top 10 things you don't want to hear at 7-Eleven. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Sam Phillips is with us. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.